This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And welcome back to the Fan Evening Show. Start of hour number four together. Thanks so much for finding us. I am Jason Mackey. The voice you just heard is Joel Nelson. Of course, talking a little hockey in this hour. The Penguins head coach. It's getting down to brass tacks. Basically, Kyle Dubas is going to have to hire somebody sooner rather than later. And let's go out to the fan hotline where we find Dan Kongerski of Pittsburgh Hockey Now to talk about some of that. Dan, what's going on? How's your evening?
Oh, it is just peachy watching Casey DeSmith defend the Edmonton Oilers.
How about that? Casey DeSmith on. Dallas making a very surprising move in goal, huh?
Well, I don't know how surprising, but yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's like, oh yeah, there's Casey DeSmith. I forgot about him.
Old friend Casey. I was asked a question, I probably omitted Casey, today about some of the best backups in Pittsburgh history. Who are some of the best backup goaltenders the Penguins have ever had, Dan?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think you go Kenny Raggett because he eventually became the starter.
Yeah.
I think you have to put Frank Pietrangelo in a kind of a special place for the save, right?
Yep, no doubt. He was on my list. I missed Kenny Raggett. I don't... Shame on me for 6 weeks for that. Mr. Game One was on there.
Oh, Mr. Game One, yeah. Let's see here. Ty Conklin was always kind of an interesting, I mean, he pushed Marc-Andre Fleury to finally get his career on track. So, yeah, maybe I'll go with him too.
Okay, I like it. More important issues, though. Want to talk about the Penguins head coaching search coming down to the wire, but there's a few candidates there. They started with a very wide list. Who are your favorites at this point? Maybe it's one, maybe it's three. You know, who are the names that you have circled?
Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble with this because everyone seems to want Mitch Love, and, you know, there's already a fan club, I think, starting, which of course means I'm going to go in an entirely different direction. I think this coach maybe has to be able to be fired easily as the Penguins transition to, you know, steps in this rebuild process. I still like DJ Smith. I'm not sure how serious of a contender Todd Nelson is. I mean, we heard externally that they liked him, but I can't confirm that he's interviewing or you know, is into the final rounds. But I still like a guy like that. You know, those are some of the guys I've circled.
So this Mitch Love fan club that you speak of, where is this? I can't find it anywhere. I want to join it. I can't find it.
Oh, just hop on X and just type the words Mitch Love, and you'll have like 1,000 likes in 2 seconds.
All right. All right. So why are you against Mitch Love?
Well, I'm
because
not
you think
him.
Somebody should be able to be they if they need to get out from under this quickly.
Yeah. I mean, I think Mitch Love is kind of a destination sort of coach. When you're ready to take that step, you go for Mitch Love to take you to the next level. There are a few reasons. I don't want to say downplay or I'm against Mitch Love. I mean, that's certainly not the case. But he is defensive-oriented, and as smart as that sounds, boy, I just can't imagine a rookie head coach herding cats of this Penguins team to instill a true defense, you know, love of playing some defense. That's the primary one. I also, I think it would be such an extraordinary challenge for a guy to come into his very first NHL head coaching job. On one end of the room, you're going to have Sidney Crosby, Chris Letang, Evgeny Malkin, Brian Rust, and then surrounding them, a bunch of guys who may not be old enough to rent a car come October. And the dichotomy of that room and how to deal with those guys on this end of the room and these guys on that's a Herculean task. maybe he's up to it. I certainly won't say he's not. But, you know, it's kind of for those reasons that I maybe think Mitch Love isn't the perfect fit for the Penguins.
So chatting Penguins here with Dan Kangurski on the Fan Evening Show. You can follow Dan on Twitter or X at the Dan Kangurski. Read his stuff at Pittsburgh Hockey Now. Of course, Dan, one of the things you wrote on there was about that they shouldn't bring in a defensive-minded head coach. I disagree with you, but that's okay. Two people can see the same thing differently. Why should they not bring in a defensive-minded head coach?
Oh, yeah, you read my the three essential qualities of the next head coach.
Which was very good, by the way. I enjoyed it. I don't have to agree with you.
I appreciate someone actually reading my stuff occasionally.
Stop.
No, I think it kind of just it goes against the grain and the DNA of the Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, we're coming up on 40-plus years that this team has been offensively oriented. Now, I will tell you full stop, this season still, until the Stanley Cup is awarded, right? It's this season. When the Penguins sort of dialed back their forecheck this year, creating an extra layer in the neutral zone, which is kind of a defensive stance, or at least a counterattack stance, I thought they were a much better team and more successful. But Sullivan sort of abandoned that for long periods because I assume he didn't think he had that kind of buy-in to play that way for weeks at a time. And it is the Penguins. And the last couple of defensive coaches, we're talking Mike Johnston, who was there a year and a half before Sullivan, and going back 28 years, Kevin Constantine, they just didn't work. The fans don't respond to it. And let's be honest, ticket sales is an important part of this equation. It's just against the DNA. It's like the Steelers hiring a pass-happy, crazy coach. You just don't do it.
I mean, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. But they don't have the horses that they used to. Like in the Constantine era, you could try to outscore teams. You might have had the artillery. Right now, I don't know. I guess if you're not going to play a more responsible system, you're just going to have to wait and wait and wait till some of these kids grow up. And maybe that's what I need to accept, and that's fine. But like, you know, if you're not going to play a defensive style system, how are they going to win games? What's their identity going to be?
Well, I'll ask you this: let's just say for what you know, a genie flips the teams. The Carolina Hurricanes become the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the Penguins go down to Carolina. Do you think there would be a sellout to watch the way the Carolina Hurricanes play hockey for 82 games?
No. You mean if you took the Carolina Hurricanes and put them in Pittsburgh?
Yes. If you put
like
the
this current
team...
All right. I see what you're getting at now.
Okay.
But I mean, I think you're going to support a team that wins. Like if the Penguins win, people will support them.
Too. And they were getting 10,000-11,000 with a Jaromir Jagr-led team because Pittsburgh fans were like, no, that's not hockey. And they didn't show up for it.
Yeah.
I just don't think it fits. It doesn't fit the city, the culture, the hockey culture sort of thing. You know, maybe you're right. Certainly would get you the rebuild done faster. That's for sure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I mean, that's my argument, but I do see yours as well. I want them to hire the right coach. If you could pick somebody right now, give me one name, your guy, Dan Kangurski, gets to make the choice right now. You get to be Kyle Dubas for 5 minutes. Who's it going to be?
Oh, I've kind of put myself in those positions. I wish I could interview these guys and really get a sense of, you know, their blackboard skills, because that's what I really, I think, will unify the veterans and the young players. Is, you know, actually, it was Mike Sullivan's strength. He had other weaknesses, But Sullivan's strength was always the whiteboard, right? Okay, you know, do this, do this. I think that could kind of pull the room together a little bit. I just like the personal touches that DJ Smith and kind of guys like Todd Nelson sort of bring to the table. I'm really lukewarm on Jay Woodcroft. I don't think he has the presence to command such a separated room as the Penguins will have next year. So I kind of come back to those two guys again. And if I had my choice, I'd probably say DJ Smith, actually, because okay. I know he's a decent enough whiteboard guy.
Couple more minutes with Dan Kangurski of Pittsburgh Hockey Now here on the Fan Evening Show. Follow Dan at the Dan Kangurski on Twitter or X. Dan, player-wise, you know, if you're going to try to improve this roster, I'm not talking about coaching, I'm not talking about systems, What sort of things would you like to see them add this offseason? In a realistic way, of course, you know, Mitch Marner to Pittsburgh would be a lot of fun. I'm just saying realistically.
Well, you're taking McDavid off the table?
I am. Yep. I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, fine. You know, he could be a free agent in two seasons, I'm just saying. And everyone wants to come into Pittsburgh and play with Sidney Crosby, right?
Right. Yeah, sure.
You know, I really do think they have to figure out that blue line. It was just horrendous this season. No pairing really worked. Nothing. I mean, they were just so mistake prone and loose and soft. And they really have to find I think a couple of left siders. Assuming Owen Pickering will be part of the mix. Maybe Ryan Shea is your six or seven. So, you know, one to two legit, you know, top four left side defensemen who can not just take care of the defensive zone, but also skate with the team so that, let's say, Chris Letang doesn't have to try to play like he's 25 or 30 anymore, to take some pressure off him, but also to lock down that defensive zone so we don't see guys coming off the mid wall with, you know, an express lane right to the net because nobody will touch him. I think that is the biggest fix for next season. And if you can find a center or two, maybe to bring along either immediately or for the near future, that wouldn't hurt either.
Dan Kangurski, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Jay.
Dan Kangurski from Pittsburgh Hockey Now does an excellent job. Check out his work, pittsburghhockeynow.com. Follow Dan at the Dan Kangurski. I'll be seeing Dan very soon, I'm sure, with the Penguins press conference. His pick to replace or to succeed Mike Sullivan, I should say, DJ Smith. I can't argue with it. It certainly seems like we're down to three. Mitch Love, DJ Smith, Jay Woodcroft. You can make an argument for all of them. You know, I get what Dan is saying, that the Penguins shouldn't, you know, slough back into a more defensive, conservative style. I think there's probably a middle ground there. I mean, you still want to enable your best players to play freely. I think there's a greater identity or sense of responsibility that the Penguins can instill in their game, whether that's Mitch Love, Jay Woodcroft, or DJ Smith. We'll hope the new guy can do it. I know I'm excited about the Penguins coach and, you know, getting a little bit more hockey in our lives. July 1, obviously the first day of free agency there, and the Stanley Cup final fast approaching. All right, before we get to some other topics here, I want to loop back to Steelers discussions, and, you know, we'll get into some Pirates stuff as well. I have a couple calls I want to get out to here. Mark in Fort Lauderdale wants to talk about Ben Cherington. What's up, Mark?
Hey, I want to say the article last Sunday about Matt Arnold was very insightful.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that.
The thing I think that distinguished Arnold compared to Cherington, and I'm not against Cherington in some ways. I'm probably one of his bigger supporters, because I'm going to tell you something. What's interesting about this whole Pirate situation, yeah, we're in year six, but he's developed an incredible pitching program. Dewey Robinson has a lot to do with that also, and some other people that are involved in the front office, where, you know, if you said to somebody, hey, what's the most important thing in baseball? Go out and find starting pitching. You can't afford it if you're a team like Pittsburgh. But where he's failed, and not where he's not Sid Thrift or Joel Brown or one of the previous successful Pirate general managers, is he hasn't made the trade from the prospect capital like Arnold did, as you pointed out so well last week in the article. And that's a big part of being a general manager in baseball today. Walt Jocketty, who just passed away, had one of the greatest sayings around. He said, if I stay around to see all the prospects develop, I won't be around to see any of them. And that was one of his famous quotes. And I think that's what Charrington lacks. He's just not a good deal maker. I mean, Dave Dombrowski's going to go to the Hall of Fame because he was able to fleece the Marlins from Miguel Cabrera. He made one bad trade, Randy Johnson, for Mark Langston. But, I mean, if you look at his record, he always talks prospects up. He's trading. There's an old saying, if Dave Dombrowski calls, you don't pick up the phone. And, I mean, you know, and that's where I think Charrington really is not Matt Arnold's level.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mark. I mean, if you look at some of the trades Charrington has made, they're just not good enough. And I think it's something, you know, I was writing that column and thinking about what I wanted to say. You know, why didn't they hire somebody who was working in a small market and had familiarity in a small market? I'll never understand that. And shame on me for not realizing it as much at the time. You know, I should have had that thought. A lot of us should have had that thought. Granted, okay, I was in a different role whenever Charrington was hired. But that's a lesson that taught me, that you want to hire somebody in a familiar climate. You know, hire somebody from Boston and bring them into Pittsburgh. That's just so different. So different.
I'll tell you one thing real quick, Jason. If Bob Nutting decides to make a change, I'll tell you the ideal candidate for the Pirates, Rob Seferro. The St. Louis Cardinals hired him this year from the Guardians. He's 32 years old out of Yale, and he's done an incredible job in numbers and acquisition and development, helping the Cardinals. I mean, this year everybody thought the Cardinals would be a dog. And Seferro, who's taken over their farm system, and Chaim Bloom, who's going to replace Mozeliak, that's a great young combo in St. Louis. And I think Seferro's got a tremendous future in the game. He learned from Matt Antonelli in Cleveland, and he's doing a tremendous job for the Cardinals right now.
Good stuff. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate the call. Have a good night. All right, Jim in Omaha wants to talk about Pirates coaching. What's up, Jim? How are you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yep.
First of all, great show and a great column this week. I really enjoy your work. So
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
When you're, doing the evening shows. So I watch every freaking Pirates game.
And die hard.
I'm sorry, there. I apologize. I thought you were. Die Hard. My 82-year-old mother watches every game. We split the MLB package, and it's really sad when Hannah Mears comes out and says that Frazier shows a drill to Davis to get him to pull the ball less, and he's like opening up, you know, more of the field now. How the hell not 4 years of Pirates coaching at different levels, not show him something like that? It just amazes me. And real quickly, last segment you were talking about, and after this one, I'll leave you alone, about Nutting. You know, it's sort of like, you're exactly right. You will never really know what he's making. But even if what DK Sports said about him losing $2 million a year, I'll take that investment if your overall investment worth the team goes up $100 million a year. So, or bring an investor on for $2 million to cover that. That's a pretty good, pretty good process. So if you're the majority owner, so I'll let that go. And thanks again for everything. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Thanks, Jim. Have a good night. Some good points there. I'll get to them. And I guess what Jim left us with is what I'll riff on for a second, but I do want to get into, you know, the future of the Pirates behind the plate, what happens to Jared Triolo, a few other kind of smaller, detail-y things. But it's not all about money. And this was something that a caller asked about before we got to Dan, and I probably could have expounded on it. But this is what I know, being around baseball the way I was for a pretty significant period of time, and I'm still around it a lot. It's not all about money, and it's hard to have that conversation. It's hard to have that conversation with people because they think you're defending the Pirates, and I'm not. It's not all about money. Other teams make smart decisions and do smart things. Like, if you tell me that the Pirates' payroll is going to be $90 million, but you can have the smartest, best general manager in the sport, you know, somebody that completely understands drafting, development, getting the most out of trades, I'd sign up for that. It's probably more important to be smart than rich in baseball. I mean, if you can be both, that's great. Then you're the Dodgers. it's pretty darn important to be rich too. But if you're in Pittsburgh, and I'm trying to, you know, do a lot of what I did as a beat writer, where you kind of meet them where they are. If we sit here and scream and expect the Pirates to have $160 million payroll, we're going to be disappointed a lot. But if we expect the Pirates to draft well, to sign players, to make smart trades, to coach them well, those are things we can expect. Now, those are areas where this group has fallen short, certainly, and they should be criticized for it, and they are. Especially the trades, that's been a very bad part of things. You know, I remember talking to Bob Nutting sort of in the early days of this current group, and we were talking about like the Chris Archer trade and, you know, how unsettling that was and the Pirates having to get better at that stuff. And I don't think they have. Ben Cherington's trading has not been good enough. The drafts have not been good enough. The free agent signings have not been good enough. So I don't understand writing it out. I don't want to see the Pirates move. I don't want to see the city donate the team back to Major League Baseball, whatever that idea was. I don't expect Bob to sell. I'm trying to address all the kind of loose ends here. I don't think the Pirates will or need to, you know, blow it up and rebuild. I think there's the guts of a pretty decent team. They also have a lot of hard moves to make, and they can't screw them up. They need to add more offense, a lot more offense. The bullpen needs to be better. You know, defensively, they've improved some. They need to improve more. I don't know what Tommy Pham is. Anyway, I don't mean to go on a big, lengthy thing. It's just it is tough to narrow in that discussion when you start talking about the big picture stuff and try to get back to the small. Anyway. All right, I'll shut up. Fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. You can visit them at southhillskia.net. I should get to a break. We'll do that, and then I'll come back, and then we'll start talking a little bit about O'Neill Cruz, what happens with Joey Bart when he's healthy, where do they go with Jared Triolo. There's going to be some, I would imagine Nick Gonzalez comes back soon. What happens there? And then we'll delve back into the Steelers a little bit to finish up. It's the Fan Evening Show. I'm Jason Mackey. You're listening to Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.